Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Epic victories, heartbreaking defeats. No matter your team, no matter your game, we talk sports on AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And because it's Friday, and because we have a reason to talk about the Buffalo Bills, an unfortunate reason to talk about the Buffalo Bills, let's make it a Fairburn Friday. And for the first time in the sports bar, we could say, from The Athletic,
yes.
Matthew Fairburn joining us in the sports bar. Matthew, how you been?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Well, Matthew, first, I apologize to you and every other Bills beat guy who deserve a few weeks off here. And there goes your time now between here and training camp. So sorry about that, Matthew.
Yeah, you know, it seems every summer something like this tends to happen to us, doesn't it? I mean, there's, you know, Sean McDermott always gives the speech at the end of the spring, hoping that guys will behave themselves and that they can have an uneventful summer, but it doesn't seem to work out that way in Western New York.
Matthew, just because you brought up Sean McDermott, given everything that's gone on this week, I mean, he's somebody that I've been thinking about. I've been thinking a lot about what Kim Pegula must be going through now as she is the president of the team, like this being really one of her biggest first challenges. But what do you think specifically Sean McDermott is thinking about and doing in preparation for training camp this week, given everything that's gone on with the LeSean McCoy investigation?
Yeah, knowing Sean McDermott, he's probably preparing for a whole bunch of different scenarios because at this point, there's a lot of ways that this thing could go, and some of them are not very good for the Bills. In fact, most of the ways this thing could go aren't great for the Bills. So Sean McDermott, he's a guy that likes to prepare, and this type of situation puts him in a spot where he can't really prepare. He can't, you know, get ready for camp and know what's going to happen on July 25th when the team reports, because he doesn't know what's going to happen with LeSean McCoy. So he's going to have to be ready to do what he needs to do, whether that's, you know, move on from LeSean McCoy, whether it's explain to people why LeSean McCoy gets to wear a Buffalo Bills uniform even while this is going on. And he's going to have to, you know, figure out how to explain to his team how he decides to handle this. So yeah, it's not an easy situation for McDermott to be in, and certainly not the situation he wanted to be dealing with on his break either.
Well, to say we're still in this, for lack of a better word, this limbo right now where we know something happened, but we don't know the full story, and it gets to 2 weeks from now. Who ultimately is the decision maker here? Is it McDermott? Is it Kim Pegula? Or is it Roger Goodell and the commissioner's exemplars? How does this play out if the investigation is still ongoing right before training camp, Matthew?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, obviously, if Roger Goodell makes the decision to put LeSean McCoy on the exempt list, that kind of lets the Bills off the hook in a way, because at that point, LeSean McCoy would not be allowed to practice or play in games. And then the Bills wouldn't have to make a decision, really. They would just be able to keep him on the exempt list. And if things go away, then they could bring him back and there would be no harm, no foul. And if things turn south, they can move on and they haven't had to make a decision. Where it gets tricky for the Bills is, what if he doesn't get put on the exempt list? And what if by July 25th, this case isn't settled in any way, which it probably won't be? Then you have to make a decision about whether you want him on the field practicing with your team, again, in a Buffalo Bills uniform, representing your organization while something like this is hanging over his head and affecting not just him, his image, but at that point, your franchise's image. So I don't think that's going to be Sean McDermott's decision alone. I don't think there's anybody that's going to make this decision alone, but I do think Terry and Kim Pegula will definitely be involved. Obviously, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott will have a say as well, but this is the type of situation where ownership has to have a pretty heavy influence, just because it's their franchise on the line. It's their image, and they're the ones that everybody will think is responsible, you know, for having him on the field if that is the decision. So they have to, you know, all kind of come to a consensus here and stay on the same page, because, you know, that's something that impacts everybody, and it affects the entire franchise's reputation.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Matthew, you know, you mentioned Kim Pegula. I'm curious, what do we know about Kim Pegula? I mean, you know, to me, as an outsider, it feels like she and Terry both have strong moral character, that you know, that they're, you know, the ones that beat the drum of culture and character, and you're starting to see it in the type of guys that the Bills, and the Sabres for that matter, are bringing into their organizations. The photos of the victim that were released earlier this week were nauseating, regardless of whether you're a male or a female. But I suspect that as a powerful female executive in the NFL, that Kim Pegula has to just be just torn about what to do. Do you make a move on your best player, or do you look this guy in the eye in less than 2 weeks at training camp at St. John Fisher College?
Yeah, it's tricky. And I know the Pegula's, especially after dealing with Rex Ryan and Tim Murray and the type of characters that both of those guys brought into their respective buildings, they have an even stronger emphasis on having high character players. Obviously, this is a tough situation because it's not cut and dry. You're not talking about somebody who's been charged with a crime or convicted of a crime. You're talking about allegations and a very complicated case that has a lot of moving parts. And so there's no easy decision here. I don't think anybody would necessarily blame the Pegulas for putting their foot down and saying, we don't want this guy on our roster. Let's find a way to move on. But I don't think you can blame them too much either for letting the justice system do its work and letting this thing reach its natural conclusion. But it's, you know, finding that you know, balance and figuring out how to, you know, spin that to the fan base, I think, is the important part here. Because, you know, if LeSean McCoy does end up getting charged and this thing drags on even longer, then it's going to look bad if they're indecisive about it. So I think it's something that's important to them, is having high character players. I think Sean McDermott and Brandon Dean have both shown that that's important to them, and they've talked about it a lot, but actions speak louder than words, and it's very easy to say those things, and it's very easy to get rid of players who maybe don't fit anyways, but when you're talking about arguably the best player on your roster, that's when you really find out how strongly they feel about having those types of people.
Well, the best player on the roster, and I would agree with you on that, but with the best player on the roster, this team's still not making the playoffs, in my opinion, Matthew. So if you look at through that prism, I mean, if you took the best player off the roster of, say, the New England Patriots, it's a different story. I mean, do the Pegulas get a little more slack here from their fan base, knowing that, well, even, you know, a 30-year-old McCoy at this point, with or without him, I don't think they were making the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, I think that's part of this that kind of works in their favor, is that I think expectations are relatively low this season to begin with, and you know, they've bought themselves a little bit of time by making the playoffs last year, and the fact that they just drafted a rookie quarterback, obviously nobody expects him to be a Pro Bowler right away, so they do have that working for them in this instance. But I think part of what would make them keep him around is if he does get charged of a crime and, you know, he does, you know, go to jail or anything like that, they would have a chance to get some of the money back. And I don't know that that would be the case if they moved on beforehand. So that may be the one thing that would keep them thinking it's worth keeping him around. It's why maybe a good situation for them, and a lot of people would view it this way, but a good situation for them might be if he ends up on the exempt list. Because I think really all the best case scenario for the Bills is that they don't have to be the ones that are put in the tough spot, because they're not, you know, a court of law and they're not the league. And so you would hope that those two you know, entities would figure this thing out before the Bills have to, because then they're put in the spot of having to, you know, make a decision that really they don't want to make.
I agree with that, Matthew. And I think I said it earlier. I think that if this case isn't resolved, or if we don't have any kind of movement in this case here within the next week or so, you know, middle of week next week, that I would say probably, like, if I put a number on it, I'd say 70% chance that McCoy ends up on the commissioner's exempt list. Now, just in case that doesn't happen, and if the Bills did decide to move on, you mentioned them being able to get some money back if he's charged. What if they just cut him outright right now and just, you know what, not worth the headache? What is it? I mean, we already know that the dead cap situation this season is a mess, but almost double the next team on the list. I mean, it's just a bad, bad situation. But 2019, it clears up a little bit. What if they were to cut LeSean McCoy? What does it do to the cap?
If they cut him, that would put about $5 million more on the dead cap, which would push them north of $50 million in dead cap, which obviously isn't a great situation, but I think some of that dead cap would probably end up on 2019 as well, but it would free them up a little bit. I mean, there's only 2 years left on that contract, and this is the last year where there's still quite a bit of dead money. You would still get some savings. His cap hit is supposed to be somewhere in the high $8 million range, low $9 million. So you would still get somewhere in the $3 million range when it comes to savings this year. So it wouldn't be the worst move in the world. And look, if there's any shred of truth to the allegation, you know, involving LeSean McCoy, and he's even remotely guilty of any of this, then I don't think the money matters. You know, I think at that point,
yeah,
you say, yeah, whatever, $5 million more on our already astronomical, you know, dead cap situation. Let's get out of this and let's move on and, you know, clear ourselves of this guy. But I also think it's pretty doable. I mean, look, they're already eating a ton of dead cap this year. It wouldn't kill them to add, you know, five more.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest here in the sports bar. See, I have my notes right in front of me, so I didn't get that wrong, Matthew. I've been so used to saying it the other way. Our guest here in the sports bar, 95.7 ESPN. Matthew, there was a report today that Brandon Oliver, the former Charger, also a UB product, you know, trying out for the Buffalo Bills. The timeline of this, though, this interest happened before the McCoy story broke, correct?
Yeah, and I, you know, that's the caliber of running back you're left with at this stage. You know, I think a lot of people are wondering, you know, what do you do to replace LeSean McCoy? I mean, you can't really replace LeSean McCoy after the draft. I mean, the draft would be the place to find a running back who could come in and have a big impact. In July, you're not finding too many impact players at any position. So guys like Brandon Oliver, that's the caliber of back for. But I think you can find running backs like that that can help out. I mean, the problem is, you know, it wouldn't have been a bad idea for them to draft the running back in the middle of the late rounds this year. The value didn't fit for them, and they didn't see a chance to do it. But their depth chart at running back is pretty old, and they don't have a lot behind LeSean McCoy at the moment. You know, it's Chris Ivory, Travaris Cadet, Marcus Murphy, Tywan Jones, Keith Ford. I mean, not a lot of household names and not a lot of young, fresh legs on that depth chart. So a guy like Brandon Oliver makes some sense, that maybe there's a trade that would present itself if the Bills do find themselves in a situation where they're going to be without McCoy for an extended period of time, because right now I'm not sure the depth chart is really built to withstand this type of loss.
Matthew, anybody on that depth chart? I mean, it happens from time to time in the NFL where you find a guy who's not a household name, a guy that was an undrafted free agent or whatever the case might be. But in training camp, there's a spark. In training camp, they turn some heads and they become something. I mean, Marcus Murphy was a name that was on this. I mean, you know, is there a chance that maybe a Brandon Oliver or a Marcus Murphy, somebody like, they come into training camp, they compete, and they turn some heads to surprise some people, and maybe you have not LeSean McCoy, but at least somebody that isn't Chris Ivory?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it will probably take a few different guys to carry the load. But you're right. I mean, how many times, I mean, anybody who plays fantasy football knows that in week 10, sometimes you're grabbing guys off the waiver wire you've never heard of, just because injuries have forced them into the lineup, and they have pretty good games. I mean, look at what Mike Gillisley did for the Bills a few years ago. So that type of thing happens. It happens more frequently when you have an established offensive line or an established passing game that can take some of the pressure off that running back, and that's what the Bills will probably be lacking this season. But I will say, I like Marcus Murphy. I think he does a lot of good things, and you know, with a bigger opportunity, he might be a guy that could make some noise. I actually think Travaris Cadet, when he had a chance last year, had some pretty good games and had some moments. Both he and Marcus Murphy, you know, can get out in space, make guys miss. They can contribute in the passing game. They can play on special teams. Those are both guys that I think could make some noise. Now, they're not going to be LeSean McCoy, but you could still argue that LeSean McCoy is the best running back in football, and you'd have a pretty strong case. So you're not going to find LeSean McCoy sitting on your depth chart or somebody else's depth chart or on the waiver wire, but you can find a few guys that'll contribute. And the running back position, I still feel, isn't so valuable to the NFL that losing McCoy makes them tremendously worse. The offense was already going to struggle, and the offensive line was already going to make life hard for McCoy anyway. So, you know, maybe having a few different backs in a rotation would, you know, suffice. It probably won't replace him, but it might get you 75 or 80% of what you would have gotten anyway.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest here in the Sports Bar. DeMarco Murray announcing his retirement today. Matthew, there's another veteran sitting out there without a job who, as far as I know, has not announced his retirement. Does the name Adrian Peterson interest you at all?
I don't know that that's a road that they would go down. It's possible. He's not quite the type of running, the same running back that LeSean McCoy is, just stylistically. He's almost maybe at this stage in his career a little bit more like a Chris Ivory type, where he's more of a bruiser than he is a guy that can make people miss and run away from people in the open field. We just haven't seen him do a tremendous amount, but maybe there's something left in his legs. Maybe it's worth kicking the tires. I just don't think – I don't know if they would go down that road again after what happened, you know, with Anquan Boldin last year. They probably want somebody who's, you know, all in and wants to play. And Peterson probably wants to be playing for a winner, quite frankly.
Matthew, it's the first time that we've had you on during the break, the first time that we've had you on since you've made the shift to The Athletic, and I wanted to make sure that you had plenty of time here on the floor of the Sports Bar to let everybody know where they can now read your work and where they, you know, tell us a little bit more about what's going on at The Athletic Buffalo.
Yeah, we're about a month in at this point, and, you know, people can find us at theathletic.com/Buffalo. If you go to theathletic.com/BillsBeat, you can actually get 40% off of your subscription. We've already added staff. They've been blown away by the response from people in Buffalo signing up and jumping on board. So it's been very exciting. There's actually been a few people commenting on my introductory column about how they love hearing me on Fairburn Fridays, and now they're happy to jump aboard on The Athletic. So some listeners out there up the Sports Bar have already jumped on board, and we'd be happy to have whoever else wants to.
Love hearing that.
Nice.
Great news, Matthew. Love it. You're doing a great job. We appreciate all the work that you're doing for The Athletic and keeping us up to date on everything Buffalo Bills related. And let's hope that we don't need to talk again before training camp in less than a couple of weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now, I think it's an afternoon practice, so we'll have to figure something out, Matthew. But Fairburn Friday, 2 weeks from now on the 27th, it's all yours, bud.
Absolutely. I'll see you guys then.
Looking forward to it. Matthew Fairburn, The Athletic, joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Great,
yeah,
as always.
Yeah, and you got to support the guys out there that are reporting. So I invite you to go check out and subscribe to The Athletic.
All right, let's come back with I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Provocative thoughts from around the world of sports. We love it when you join us at 454-ESPN. You can agree or disagree anytime, 454-3776. Gino, I think we need to raise a glass to a friend of the Sports Bar.
I saw this. Yeah, this is really cool news. We'll, you know, a little broadcasting thing here we'll raise a glass to, and then also, there's a breaking story out of Los Angeles, baseball story. and I'm going to raise a glass. Get out. I want this guy out of my life. If this is true, this is awesome.
We could raise a glass. We could also light one up for our friend Adam Terry. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. You've got your Adam Terry victory cigar ready to go from Matt Hatters.
Yeah, we'll tell you the story involving Adam Terry, our good friend. But certainly this is. Did you see the forecast this weekend, Andrew?
Oh, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, really. If anybody's complaining, oh, it's too dry out, shush. Okay, these are the weekends we live for in Rochester, so get out there. Go spend time with your friends and family. Maybe go play 18. Maybe do some grilling. You know what goes great if you're on your patio or deck or you're playing 18? That's a nice cigar. So when you're heading home tonight, head on over to Mad Hatter's Hideaway. They've got all the cigars for you. Walk-in humidor. It's a fun place to shop. Mad Hatter's Hideaway. Tell them and Nick and the guys we said hello over there. It's on Culver Road, just south of the 104. Mad Hatter's Hideaway. Tell them you heard about it here on the Sports Bar.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus, on-demand and audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the Sports Leader? The Radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The Radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports Leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.